Today, 3rd March, is Music Freedom Day, and at the European Music Council, EMC, we would like to celebrate this with a special edition of our podcast, Music Webs, Weaving Connections and Untangling Cultural Policies in Europe. Freedom of musical expression. Some of us might think that this is an issue for countries far away and outside of Europe. But just last week, the Free News report on the State of Artistic Freedom 2021 was published. And it states that 26% of all document restrictions actually happen in Europe. So probably the most prominent case currently is the case of Catalan rapper and activist Pablo Hasél, who is in prison because of his rap lyrics. He is facing a 9-month jail term for glorifying terrorism and slandering the crown and state institutions. But there are other ways to impede freedom of expression in a way much more subtle, but not less effective. We see specific strategies, notably by populist and nationalist governments. To have a bigger insight into this, I'm very happy to talk today with two distinguished guests. My name is Simone Dutt. I'm one of the two Secretary Generals of the European Music Council, and I would very much like to welcome Monika Pasicznik from Poland and András Stumpf from Hungary. Monika is a new music author and freelance curator from Poland. She worked as a music journalist for the Polish radio until 2010 and for the classical music magazine Ruch Muzyczny, Musical Movement, until 2014. As a curator, she has collaborated with festivals like Warsaw Autumn, Huddersfield Contemporary Music Festival, Darmstädter Ferienkurse für Neue Musik, and with NGOs. She lives in Warsaw. And I'm also very happy to welcome András Stumpf. He's our guest from Hungary. He's a journalist and co-founder of Valash Online. András is responsible for creating an array of exclusive material, interviews, in-depth investigative articles, and opinion pieces. He covers mainly Hungarian home affairs, but also has reported from several countries in and outside the EU, including Afghanistan and Germany. He was awarded with Junior Prima Prize in the category Press in 2009 and 2014, and he received the Quality Journalism Award in 2012. So, Monika, beginning with you, where in Poland do you see that freedom of musical expression is prevented?
I'm basically active as a critic and curator in the field of new music or contemporary art. And I must say this is perhaps the pool or the realm which was limited very much. The Minister of Culture and National Heritage said once that in recent years, namely before the Law and Justice Party came into power, there was too much contemporary art and too much contemporary culture. So they turned, so to say, into another direction and decided to support National Heritage. This is the new name of the department or the ministry. Yeah, it was. It's not just a Ministry of Culture or Art, but Ministry of Culture and National Heritage. So what the government did is the limitation of spread of contemporary art, contemporary culture, and practically it means that the foundations, the organizations were somehow cut off the public fundings. Yeah, so as you know, NGOs and different organizations are regularly applying for public money for different projects, and they just stop getting this money. So I think it's most visible limitation of this contemporary culture, and the whole money came to big institutions like Philharmonies, for example, in music, or governmental agencies, which decide where to send this money. So like 10 years ago, I observed a really flourish of free music scene. a lot of small foundations, small organizations started to organize wonderful, beautiful events, festivals, small festivals of contemporary music. Theaters and galleries were very much open for such a collaborations. It died. So this free music scene died, and now we have only this very official, very ceremonial festivals, like, for example, the festival founded by the Ministry of Culture, which is the festival of music of Central and Eastern Europe. And the organizer is the Ministry of Culture. The media partner is the governmental television and radio. The fundings come from a petrol company, which actually is a state company. Yeah, so it's really a pure propaganda festival. It has nothing to do with the authentic culture, authentic creative activities of people. But it's just a propaganda situation where the government, the officials try to control the discourse, try to push it in a very certain way. The question is, if you are not matching in this frame, what you can do? Yeah. So you are workless, so to say.
Yeah, thank you for that first impression. Now over to you, András. So how do you see it for Hungary? Do you see that music and the freedom of musical expression is prevented, and in what ways, if you think so?
There are quite big similarities to Poland, but I won't say that there is no freedom of expression. Of course, you cannot really tell how you can be free or not free when you play Bartok or when you play Beethoven or something, and also politicians cannot say that this is the wrong way to play it. If you look at theaters, for example, where you have the lyrics, where you have all the texts, that's another problem. But what Monica said is key: funding. The big changes came in Hungary 2 years ago, 2.5, where nothing, you cannot get money, public money, if in a normative way. So before that, you could approach public money with objective criteria, so to say. So if you had concerts, 100 concerts a year, and you had a lot of listeners, then you could get back the one third or half of the money from the state the next year, no matter what you played. And of course, this wasn't a good system also, because there were big frauds with that system. But that was quite an objective criteria, how you get the public funding. This came to an end. And now what we also see is that politicians and the government tries to control every public money. So this is not true that the NGOs or the free and independent and little theater or music that they cannot get money. They can, but they have to apply. They have to show their hands and say, please, we also want to get. And who decides now? It's politics that decides if they get it or not. This time around, they do get public money still, but it only depends on politicians how they decide. And if they say no, they don't have to say why that decision was made. So it's absolutely up to them, up to the state secretary in the cultural ministerium, which is not called cultural ministerium, but ministerium for human resources. But there is a state secretary for culture, and he can decide alone if he wants to, who gets public funding and who doesn't. So the problem is that there is no normative funding anymore for these. On the other hand, if you look at the amount of money, then you see that still the big and also those orchestras, for example, festival orchestra that has nothing to do with the government. It existed before the Fidesz government, and it will exist hopefully after that. So they also get public funding and a lot of public funding. So there are very many good quality orchestras in Hungary. In Budapest, you have five, which is for this country, I think, more than enough or a big amount. So there is a music scene, there is a theater scene in Budapest in Hungary, and it's still flourishing, but it only depends on politics. If they want to stop it, they just do not fund it anymore, and they don't have to answer the question why.
So when I listen to you closely, public funding is especially given to those in line with the political parties in power, maybe except for some long-standing institutions or festivals that have existed for a long time. But what about public media? How is the situation there?
In Poland, public media became the national media or even governmental media. So it's a propaganda tube right now. It's unthinkable to function on these media channels, in radio or in television, and be the critical. Everybody who wants to be independent and critical have to find another channel or another media for the promotion or just to access to the public.
In Hungary, it's mainly this is also mainly about politics. So for 5 days, it's very new, but for 5 days, for example, Budapest Spring Festival, which was 40 years old and a very famous Hungarian high-level festival for high culture. The government said it will no more fund this festival. They said they haven't said why, but just no. Of course, we all know why. It's just because Budapest is now governed by an oppositional mayor. It is not governed by Fidesz. And they just don't want to co-found anything that has something to do with not Fidesz, with the opposition. So now they are launching two other festivals, which are funded by the government. I think it's 3 million euros for the new Budapest Spring Festival, the governmental Budapest Spring Festival. And they don't fund that one that was 40 years old. So this is just about control. That the way of thinking is in the government that public money is the money of the party. It's just that easy. That people voted for us, and that's true. People voted for them. So they are democratically there. There were elections, and they were voted into power. So people voted for us. What we do is what the nation wants. And of course, why shouldn't we think of public as public? There are good things that this is what we do, and the other things that people did not vote for, which is quite interesting. If you look at Budapest, people voted for the opposition. But still, the government says, okay, we will do our own festival, it will be great, we will fund that, and Budapest can do whatever Budapest can do. But of course, a Budapest Spring Festival, this kind of festival, you cannot fund only with the city. You have to co-fund it with the government, and it was always like that. Now it came to an end because of this political control freakness, what's there since 2010 or 11. What diversity questions, I think still there are no problems in the musical field, really. So we have Bartók Radio, that's a public service media. And while it is true, also in Hungary it's true, that public service media is no public service anymore. It's propaganda, almost, but not really on cultural fields. So I don't really sense that big change in, for example, Bartok Radio, what they give music. They give classical music. We also have another radio here. It's classic radio. It also presents classical music. And, you know, it's quite the same as it was before. So you cannot really change Beethoven. So you play it and you listen to that, and it's great. But in theaters, what we already talked about, that how they really want to control every penny, that every penny of taxpayers' money, and flow it to people who are close and who are enemies.
So what about the independent music scene, the not publicly funded music sector? Is there some kind of censorship, or how does this music sector thrive in your countries?
Yeah, we had a really brilliant scandal a few months ago regarding a pop song, which was on the top of the charts in a program, Polish Radio Program 3. It was actually, because it doesn't exist anymore, but it was really popular, a very acknowledged radio station, not classical, but more in rock music, this direction. And since the 1980s, the journalist Marek Niedźwiecki was hosting the charts. It's really the famous, the most famous charts in Poland. And it was in April. So due to pandemic, the government decided to close everything, among them also cemeteries. But in April, we had this anniversary of a plane catastrophe where the president and a lot of officials died. Yeah, but nobody could actually go to the cemetery. I mean, families for victims. Instead of one person, namely Kaczyński. So he went to the cemetery, and the society saw it, that he is on the grave of his brother. But nobody could instead of him. And the popular songwriter Kazik wrote a song in which he describes and criticized this particular situation with the cemetery. And the refrain was somehow, it was like, my pain is bigger than yours. It was like a very, very famous, it became a very, very famous phrase, and the whole Poland was singing this song and repeating this this short phrase. And what happened when this song got on the top of these charts? The guy from above, so the not the director, but even higher than director of the radio station, said that no, it wasn't okay, because there were some manipulations in the procedure of voting, and we have to remove this song from the top of these charts. Yeah, and of course there was a brightly or widely discussed in the society, and at the end, the host of these charts, so Marek Niedźwiecki, this very, very famous and popular guy, just dismissed and decided to resign of his position in radio. And actually, that was the end of the whole team, because the other people also in a gesture of solidarity resign of working for this radio. And actually it was a censorship. Yeah, it was a censorship. So I think it's the really strong example how it is actually in Poland right now.
Yeah, it's quite the same in Hungary. If you look at we also have a public service radio station for pop music, Radio Petőfi, which was very important for Hungarian pop and rock artists in the late 2000s, when they had all the new stuff coming in and broadcasting all the real pop music that was created, you know, creatively and not just this commercial meaningless nothing, but the real thing, and it was very helpful for a lot of pop rock bands in Hungary to be successful, to make big concerts, because people just got to know that they are existing and they are creating. This came to an end, I think, in 2012 or something like that, where the government decided that, okay, we don't need this alternative underground kind of thing coming up to the national levels and to be broadcasted. And they turned this radio into this meaningless commercial kind of stuff. I don't really get why this gets public funding. It is the same as any commercial radio with all the pop songs that mean nothing. And if these artists who have something to say want to get into the program, they just can't anymore. So that's true that they don't get the airplay that they used to get. On the other hand, I'm sorry to say, but it looks like pop music and rock music is not publicly funded, because it just looks more free and independent, because it's in the genre itself that it looks more independent, but it's not quite the case. If you look at the incomes of pop musicians in Hungary, in the last years it was mainly the concerts the free concerts paid by municipalities, who just, you know, they have the cultural budget and they can invite pop bands to their summer festivals. Every municipality has its summer festival and things. And if you get invited, you get paid. The audience does not pay, but it's also politically motivated, of course. It's not 100% politically motivated. So all these bands who were successful in the late 2000s, because of Radio Petőfi and this airplay and thing, they were still playing a lot of gigs. But there you can find, because of course most of the municipalities are also Fidesz governed cities. But you could find this political kind of thing that, okay, we have friends, they have to be invited, and then you can invite some that are not only friends but also good, and this is how this goes. Now, of course, this coronavirus thing made it absolutely impossible to live for pop and rock musicians. And what the state did, instead of helping in a normative way, that you had this amount of gigs last year, now okay, you get some public funding because it is banned to play gigs, so you just have to get some kind of money. No, they made concerts without audience, and they paid for the artists, but this was the helping hand, but who they invited, it absolutely depended on them, and the money, most of the money, and it was quite a lot of money, went into the pocket of government clothes companies that organized all these things. So not the musicians, not the artist itself, but to the closest friends and companies. So there's quite a big problem now. I don't know how, if it stays with us, this corona situation, this summer, I don't know what the pop rock musicians will eat, really, and they don't know it either. So they really have to go and I don't know, bake pizza, or it's quite a sad situation, really.
Yeah, I absolutely understand you, and this is really also something that worries me. The effects of the corona crisis on the music sector, they are quite devastating, and this is surely something to also have a greater look at, and probably something to look at deeper in another podcast. So coming back to the public media, so if there is no room for musical diversity or independent music production in there, where does or does musical diversity take place or independent music productions in your countries, and where would that be?
I think it's the same in Poland as in Hungary, on, of course, on Spotify and on YouTube Premium and on Deezer. I don't know if Deezer still exists, but yeah, it does. Great. Yeah, on all these platforms. And it is happening. It's still happening. And I would also think that the COVID thing is the biggest threat now. So it's not politics. It's the COVID thing that really threatens or the musicians, but still it's happening. And if you know what to look for, then you can find it. It's still there. It's still produced. It's the songs are still written in every kind of genre, also in Hungary. So you also have the Hungarian hip hop scene, the rap scene, the every kind of thing you can think of. But you have to know what you want to listen to. So the old days when good songs were broadcasted on radio, these are over.
Yeah, I would add that, of course, we have all these wonderful technologies and means like internet, YouTube, and people can produce podcasts and exchange with those materials. There is a Vimeo, there is a SoundCloud, so it's not so difficult to get to the interesting stuff. But as Andras said, many people, and I think there are some researches about this, that people are somehow lazy, yeah? And they rely on what radio station or some official media channels are offering them, and they rely on it. And it's not so beautiful that we all are researchers and we are exploring internet and looking for interesting music, and so it's not that we can replace the public media with SoundCloud and YouTube. Yeah, it's not so easy. And then we have also algorithms which also are somehow manipulating with our preferences or creating our preferences. So when you know how to use this means, it's easy. Yeah, you can get your culture, you can produce your music, you can produce a podcast, and people really do it. Yeah, there are a lot of people, especially young people, who are making their own radio broadcast, putting it into internet, talking to each other, discussing, as we are, for example, now discussing all these issues. And we don't need really the public media. Most of them are doing this for free. Yeah, so they are not earning money. This is, of course, the problem in the corona time. And what I would say, in Poland, the corona crisis show that we have a real problem with to estimate how many people are actually living from making culture. Yeah, we don't have any program for social insurances for freelancers, and that was actually the the most difficult moment, yeah, because government even didn't know who needs the help and how many people need the help. Yeah, so perhaps this is the thing that should be somehow solved with any program, any law or something like this. But if you are somehow independent, when you can earn money in a different way, that's you have the means. Yeah, you have produce, you can produce everything you want and connect to your listeners, to your audience. And yeah, so until we don't have a censorship on Facebook or YouTube or things like that, then I think the culture will be developing and it won't die.
So just my last question for today. So if you had a wish for musical or cultural freedom in your country, what would this be?
If we have, we had a what?
A wish.
A wish.
Mm-hmm. More independence, more money for independent culture producers, foundations, and yeah, and more centralized system of fundings and control and more diverse discourse about music. So not so much nationalistic, not so much Poland orientated. Yeah, this is what I wish.
My wish would be, again, normative funding and from the state and objective criteria. This is very important, I think. No matter what you think of the world, you think of the government or anything, or you loyal to this organization or that, if you accomplish something that's really there, that's existing, if you're good enough, then you should get that funding. If you're not, no matter how progressive and liberal or nationalist or anything you are, then you don't get the funding. I think that will be key to that would be my wish. Yeah.
So thank you. Thank you very much, Monika. Thank you very much, Andras, for our conversation today. Thank you so much for giving all the practical examples and through that for giving us such a very good insight in the state of freedom or non-freedom of musical expression in your countries. I really, really very much value your openness and the conversation that we had today. So this conversation took place in the frame of the EMC podcast, Music Webs, Weaving Connections and Untangling Cultural Policies in Europe. And this was a special edition for the Music Freedom Day that is celebrated on 3rd March.